This month's piece from Tape Ace for the Blind South Africa's magazine is entitled Searching for No Man's Land. We'd like to thank Tape Ace for the Blind South Africa for allowing us to use this feature on our magazine.
Searching for No Man's Land. Fascinating history surrounds the area from Port Shepstone to the Umtambuna River on KwaZulu-Natal's lower south coast. For many living there now, it's the idyllic, slower south coast. We're in KC's coffee shop, a trendy cafe 1 kilometre inland from Shelley Beach. It's diagonally opposite the Lutheran Church, built more than a century ago by the first group of German settlers to the lower south coast region. The area from around Port Shepstone to the Umtambuna River was a no man's land until the British government annexed it in 1865, says Oscar Brueggemann, local dairy farmer and direct descendant of the first group of German pioneers to the south coast. Norwegians had preceded the Germans, the British government giving each family 100-acre lots to farm. The legacy of those Norwegian immigrants endures in towns they established, like Oslo Beach and Marburg. Most of those Norwegian settlers weren't agriculturalists, Oscar explains, so a lot of them went home. In 1883, the German group arrived, attracted by reports of good prospects. They settled south of the Norwegian communities on farms in the Izocha region and large parts of present-day Margate, including what's now called the Village of Happiness. 80 people from the Hanover area came out on a ship called the Arab, says Oscar. My grandmother was 3 months old when the boat sailed. Her mother, my great-grandmother, was a midwife and would ride alone on horseback all the way to Harding to deliver babies. Also on that ship were 3 young missionary brides, one of whom had to embark on another long journey, a cross-country trek to Zululand, to marry her as-yet-unseen fiancé. You've got to take off your hat to those intrepid women of yesteryear. Heading south along the R620, we try to picture the areas the settlers travelled through 130 years ago. But in common with most coastal places, blessed with benign climates, no man's land has developed into built-up land. For mile upon mile we drive through urban landscapes. Parts are picturesque, if not riotously quirky. Other places less so, and except for the beaches we glimpse and the many estuaries we cross, the natural world appears all but used up. It's impossible to imagine the sight that greeted those German pioneers. But the further south we travel, the greener the world becomes. In the very well-managed town of South Broome, we walk the Bushbuck Trail through a 14-hectare pocket of pristine coastal forest. A proud resident points us in the direction of another of the town's environmental assets, Frederica Nature Preserve, a 9-hectare natural heritage site comprising mature virgin dune forest. There's a very accessible trail, and a deck high above the forest canopy affords stupendous views out to sea. It's a great place to watch the sunrise. We met another contented resident, Nikki Negra, owner of Trattoria La Terrazza, on the banks of the Umkobi Lagoon. Nikki and husband Massimo and their baby daughter exchanged the fast pace of the big city 20 years ago for the less frenetic lifestyle of the lower, or, to coin a local phrase, slower south coast. The beaches are fabulous, Nikki says, as good as any in Mozambique. We reach Munster, originally a German mission station. The Saturday Munster Market was recently established to give local entrepreneurs new opportunities. We meet environmentalist Lionel Bennett there. He and fellow local conservationists have a stand promoting conservation. Sporting a colourful apron and a Paul Kruger beard, Lionel cuts a larger-than-life figure as he cooks boerewors on a skottle. The evocative sizzle and spicy aroma, an irresistible lure for many. Pure South Coast, he says, of the down-to-earth market, where everything, like the 500-gram box of macadamia nuts we bought for 30 rand, is locally sourced, crafted, grown, or of local interest. Lionel is an honorary officer of KZN Wildlife. His beat is Mpenjati Nature Reserve, 60 hectares of interlinking wetlands, grasslands and dune forests, 20 kilometres south of Margate. It's the southernmost remnant of the giant coastal dune forests and, for its size, has phenomenal diversity, Lionel says. The Mpenjati River divides the reserve in two. Once compromised by sand mining, the river is in better shape since mining ceased. The mouth has reopened and fish life is recovering, Lionel says. He adds that crocs occur there too, as they do in every river in KZN. It's best to believe him. The Trafalgar Marine Reserve has its southern boundary at the lovely Palm Beach, just past Mpenjati. Fossilised Cretaceous trees, visible in the intertidal rocks at low tide, are witness to the primordial forest that grew in the area 90 million years ago. It's not quite low tide when we stroll along the wide beach at Mpenjati, so we don't get to see the fossils. Nor do we see any crocs. We access the reserve's north bank from the beach and note that high seas have eroded the dune, leaving a boardwalk dangling in mid-air. The Yengeli, Zulu for Jennet, trail meanders through the ancient dune forest, one of the largest of its kind on the south coast. Spoor of bushbuck, duiker and jennet is everywhere, and countless birds flit through the forest canopy. We could be a million miles from built-up land, and yet we're just a few hundred metres from the busy R61, in a place once part of no man's land, and where, Lionel told us, Shaka's Buffalo Battalion was stationed, the Zulu word for buffalo, Inyati, giving the reserve its name. We continue south to Leisure Bay. Our hosts, Libby and Mick Goodall, moved there because they have the best beaches in KZN. We stroll through the unspoilt village to Kids Beach, with a majestic forested dune as backdrop and soft white sand, rugged rocks, rock pools and bluer than blue water. This beach has to be one of the best anywhere, not just in KZN. It's almost like the Wild Coast here, says resident Mary Godlinton, who, with husband John and their children, lived in a traditional hut at Mbotai on the Wild Coast for 5 years during the 1970s. We spent every holiday there, says Mary. We weren't allowed to buy land in the old Transkei, so a family let us build a hut at their umuzi, family village or home. It was a symbiotic relationship, with John, a doctor, treating the sick. Now retired, John pursues his passion as an outsider artist. Outsider art is about using all sorts of things to make art, says John. His and Mary's home, Owl Cottage, is, to quote Libby Goodall, South Coast's own owl house. It's a kaleidoscope. Wonderland showcasing one man's extraordinary creativity and imagination. Shunning publicity, John declined to be photographed or to give out his number. Visitors can ask local residents how to find us, he said. Another artist attracted by the area's wild beauty is Barry Dibb, acclaimed for his ceramics, glasswork and paintings. When we visit, Barry and his wife Josie are preparing for the annual Kunstunik art exhibition in Pretoria. Gorgeous artworks are everywhere. We're in another wonderland of colour and form. The only thing I miss about our previous home near Durban is the enormous studio, says Barry. Natural beauty aside, there's another dimension to the coastline, the many shipwrecks over the centuries. Famous among them is the São João, wrecked in a storm between Port Edward and Leisure Bay in 1552. Fascinated by shipwrecks and everything else I see, Leisure Bay resident Norbert Gintner, an extraordinarily energetic septuagenarian, combs the beaches with his metal detector almost every day during spring tide and also dives for treasure. The wreck of the São João has never been found, but I've recovered many artifacts like red carnelian beads and Ming porcelain shards. A civil engineer by profession, Norbert has become Leisure Bay's own Mr. Fix-It. Just some of the ways he helps his community are by catching snakes in houses. I love snakes. Finding corner pegs for estate agents with his metal detector, or using it to trace snares, plus receiving and printing emails for neighbours without computers. I was an airport design specialist, and so I have seen the entire world. There's nowhere like Leisure Bay. Everything here is perfect. I am blissfully happy. That could be the motto of many a slower South Coast settler.
NTE, the National Talking Express.